This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House Military and Veterans will committee will come to order. Thanks for joining us, Representative Marty. Thank you. So as we get started, I would like to remind everyone who's testifying to make sure that you've signed in. And also, I'd like to remind everyone, hey, Representative Marty, enough disruption. Don't make me gavel you. Anyhow, all of those who are in the room, I'd like to remind you, please turn your phones down and that sort of stuff to try and minimize the disruption. And I'd also like to welcome everybody here in the room and also online to our committee today. We had quite a long session today, so we have a late start on this. At this time, I'd like the Secretary to go ahead and call the roll.
Representative Deutsch. Excused. Representative Drury.
Deutsch is here.
Oh, good.
Here.
Representative Goodwin.
Excused.
Howard.
Excused.
Johnson.
Here.
Marty.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Overweg.
Here.
Poirier.
Excused.
Tiedemann.
Here.
York.
Here.
Gross.
Here.
Randolph.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. At this time, we have a new rotation of pages. So I would like, if you guys could come forward and introduce yourselves, tell us where you're from, maybe your class size. We were asking the other pages before who you thought was going to win the Super Bowl, but that's kind of irrelevant now. But just maybe a hobby you have.
My name's Alex Otten. I'm a junior at Stevens High School in Rapid City. And Stevens High School has a class size of about 600, I think, in my graduating class. So.
Hi, I'm Scotland Donovan. I'm from Chamberlain High School, and our class size is about 75 kids.
Hobbies? Any hobbies?
My grandma's teaching me how to crochet.
That's almost a lost art these days, so good for you.
And I like to do cross country and track. So.
Very cool. So, at this time, little housekeeping. I don't know if anyone has had an opportunity to look over the minutes, but I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson.
I move we approve the minutes of the last meeting.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion by Representative Olson and a second by Representative York. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's passed. So at this time, we'll keep moving, pick up where we left off last time, which is we were working on House Bill 1057, and we were in proponent testimony. And we'll go ahead, if Representative Deutsch, if you'd like to give us a refresher of where we were and
thank
where
you,
we are. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Since we are last together, there's been a little bit of a flurry of activity with this bill between myself and Representative Gross, the Department of Defense, as well as the Board of Regents. And I think instead of me getting into the nitty-gritty of it right now, it might be more appropriate for me to introduce Representative Gross, who will share with you what's transpired, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Deutsch, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Randy Gross, 8th District Representative. A little refresher, if I may, And if, with your permission, I'll speak to both the bill itself and a potential amendment that we had kind of informally talked about during our discussion, but has evolved and hopefully come to fruition here to everyone's satisfaction.
So would you rather, do you want to move the amendment now or wait just to speak to it?
Whatever your preference. I can certainly move amendment, get the right number, 1057B.
Okay, there is an amendment.
Mr. Chair,
I understand. You're exactly right.
But I'll make the motion to move.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So we have a motion to move 1057B by Representative Olson.
So,
and a second by Representative Drury. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Cool. So go ahead and speak to the bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you recall, I spoke as originally drafted this bill. Raised some concerns in my mind based on experience I had a couple of years ago in a personal situation. I had a granddaughter who was a military child who was did 4 years of high school in Germany, wanted to enroll at South Dakota State University, and I was looking at seeing whether or not she could qualify for in-state tuition based on the military status. I talked to a number of people. The VA coordinator at SDSU at that time, and I don't know if he's still there, but he was very helpful, and I told him I was thinking about a bill along this lines, not to help my granddaughter so much because it would probably take place after she was enrolled, but going forward that we should allow in-state tuition for all military youth. And he told me, don't do anything to the existing statutes. It'll make life tougher for him. He got her in as an in-state student. In the meantime, then, this bill 2 years later was dropped as is, and it more clearly defined what it took to be an in-state student from a military in terms of requiring that the parents had basically started out in South Dakota and maybe been residents of South Dakota. The student may have graduated high school, the parents may have left, and the student would still continue to qualify for in-state tuition. We went through a couple gyrations on the amendment, but basically this 1057B, as it's proposed now, says if you are a family member, dependent, child, of a veteran or active, now excuse me, not of a veteran, but of an active duty military, you qualify for in-state tuition. We originally had some words relative to veterans in there, but that's such a large, nebulous group to track and find out, you know, lots of people are veterans from generations throughout, but if your parents or your family, I should say, are active duty, then you qualify for in-state tuition, is what 1057B does, regardless of your state of residence. I think this opens it up. I think it's the ultimate thank you to our military in allowing them, no matter where they are, to qualify for in-state tuition. If the kids are graduating from high school in San Diego and their parents may be in the Navy down there, or if they're in Germany, maybe in the military over there, they qualify for in-state tuition. The reason I support this is, first of all, as a thank you to our military, but these military kids as a group are good students, good kids, the type of people we want in South Dakota. We also learned in our informal discussion here, I lose track of just when it was, a week or two ago, that we aren't the first state to do this. One of the experts that Representative Deutsch had testifying remotely said that Indiana, and I believe he mentioned a couple other states, do very similar things. So it's not like we're breaking ground on that as well. There's also a need amongst our regental schools for students. Our enrollment has remained essentially flat on a full-time equivalent basis now for 10 years plus. And we've entered into, as a system of regional schools, to offer in-state tuition to virtually all of our adjoining states. So we're not breaking ground, but we're in a big way saying thank you and offering an opportunity to our military. With that, I would stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Representative Gross. Is there any other proponent testimony on this? Welcome, sir. State your name for the record. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Nathan Lucas with the Board of Regents. I know it's late. I'll keep my testimony brief, but I come before you in support of the amended version of House Bill 1057. You know, the reality is this may not affect a ton of people, but for those it does, it's going to provide a meaningful impact. You know, you can speculate both ways on fiscal impact from a regental system. You know, the reality is, maybe you lose a little bit, maybe you make some. We're never going to know for sure, but at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do. It's a good bill. It's a good concept, and I'd urge your support. I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, sir. Any other proponent testimony at this time? Okay. And we have none online, correct? Or is there one online? I think we have someone, yes. Mr. Rickles, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yes. Are you prepared to speak?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, go ahead.
Chairman and members of the committee, first of all, thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify for House Bill 1057, Bravo. And also I'd like to thank Representative Deutsch for bringing this to the attention of the legislature, and thank you very much, Representative Gross, for your anecdotal story about your granddaughter, and I think you articulated the intentions of this bill, at least 1057, Bravo. We ask our military families to do a lot, and, you know, they normally move between kindergarten and 12th grade about 6 to 8 times. And if they end up in Ellsworth Air Force Base, for example, let's say their sophomore or junior year, and the parents subsequently leave and they go to Germany, and they want to stay in the state of South Dakota, they would not be eligible as the current statute reads. But with this expansion of the eligibility to all military families, of course, they would be eligible for in-state tuition. Initially, our objective was once they receive in-state tuition for our military family members, that they continue to remain eligible for in-state, provided the continuous enrollment continues. I know 1057 is an expansion of that and creating eligibility for in-state tuition for all military family members. And that's for the committee and the legislature to decide that, but I would applaud that. I just want to make clear that the initial intentions was a little bit more narrow focus, but of course we would support the amendment because it goes above and beyond the expansion of our intention. So with that, I will open it up for any questions that the committee members may have for me as a and I apologize. I didn't give an introduction. I'm a former Navy guy, 30 years, retired in 2006 after 30 consecutive years on active duty. And since then, I've been working for the Department of Defense in this Defense State Liaison Office. And what we do is we work on quality of life issues for military families and veterans as those issues intersect with state policy. And I've been working with Representative Deutsch for about 3 or 4 years now. I think three. This is the third year. And he has gotten some legislation passed for military families in the past, and he's had some great success. And, of course, the committee and the legislature as well. So I'll open it up for any questions about this bill or any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Rickles. Is there any other proponent testimony at this time? I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that might be it. So are there any for opponent testimony? I don't believe we have any other signed up for that as well. So we will waive rebuttal, and we'll open it up to committee questions. Does anyone in the committee have any questions for any of the proponent testifiers?
I would just like to say I'll make a motion to approve, but I would also like to say I thank the sponsors for bringing this. You know, you maybe can't measure it in fiscal amounts, but if there's even a small percentage of those people decide to stay in the state of South Dakota, there's the impact that we've made. So I think this is a great bill. Thank you for bringing it.
Thank you, Representative New York. Anyone else have any questions or maybe any comments?
Second. Olson, second.
Okay, so we've moved into action very quickly. So we have a second by Representative Olson, a motion by Representative York and a second by Representative Olson. So any discussion on the motion? That's kind of what I thought. We're at that time. So So at this time, I would ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Deutsch.
Deutsch votes aye.
Drury.
Aye.
Goodwin excused. Howard excused. Johnson.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Overweg.
Aye.
Poyer excused. Tiedemann.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Gross.
Aye.
Randolph.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 10 yea, 3 excused.
Okay, so we have an affirmative on that, a do pass. That we'll head to the floor with that recommendation. Yes?
I just want to make sure that it's House Bill 1057 as amended for the secretary. Thank you.
Thank you for that correction, that addition. So it is HB 1057 as amended. You have that, Madam Secretary?
I do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Tiedemann. So moving on from there, we are now to House Bill 1206. So at this time, I would ask for proponent testimony, Representative Dennard.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. It's good to be here with you today. I do have a one-word bill, and I'm going to introduce myself before I forget. I'm Representative Drew Dennert. I represent District 3, Aberdeen. I do have a one-word bill, and no, it is not made to a shall, but it adds the word 50. Right now, a military headstone reimbursement is reimbursed in the amount of $100, and this bill would simply change that to $150. The last time this was changed was 2009, and I am going to now step down and allow Aaron Wahlberg from Aberdeen to do the heavy lifting here and explain why we're bringing this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Dennard. Welcome, sir. If you would, go ahead and state your name for the record, please.
My name is Aaron Wahlberg. I am the Brown County Veterans Service Officer, and I'm also the president of the South Dakota Veterans Service Officer Association. Thank you for your time. I know it's late. I'll try and keep it as brief as I can, but I think this is an important issue that we need to address. Representative Dennard was out campaigning right after I just recently returned home from a deployment this last summer, and one of the first issues I encountered in my office was a widow of a veteran who was applying for a military marker for her husband. And her biggest concern was how to pay for setting it. And in case you're not aware how the process works, is a marker is provided at no charge to the family or whoever of the veteran when they pass. But then the cost is incurred by the family or someone else to set them. And it gets expensive. You know, this bill used to only reimburse $40, and then it was changed in 2009 under Governor Dugard to $100. Now, I did some calling, and in 2009, roughly the average cost was about $250 to set a government marker. So it covered close to half the cost. I spoke with several different agencies that set markers now recently, and the cost is between $350 to $400 to set one of these government headstones. This issue doesn't really seem like a lot to a lot of people, but it can be very catastrophic for some of these families. There's many, many veteran families that struggle, you know, financially, and there's many of these elderly families that live solely on Social Security. And when one of those people pass away, then that Social Security income gets cut quite considerably. So the cost, although it doesn't seem like much, $350, $400 can be a very catastrophic hit for them. We do our training every year annually out here in Pierre in August. This issue was brought up several times with different VSOs when we had our association meetings, and it's one of those items that we looked at because it could have a pretty big impact for a surviving spouse of a veteran. Money's a big issue, I understand that. Right now, through the South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs, on average, if you average it out, it's about 400 requests a year for headstone reimbursement, which takes us to roughly $40,000 a year. What we'd be asking for would be about a $20,000 increase if we look across the averages for this particular reimbursement. $20,000 doesn't seem like a lot of money, and something that we should also maybe consider is we do have a state veteran cemetery coming. We don't have figures on that yet in terms of number of veterans that will be interred there. However, those veterans that are interred at the state cemetery or the national cemetery don't qualify for this reimbursement. So you'd probably see a pretty significant number of veterans that would be interred down in Sioux Falls that the state would no longer be responsible or help out with that $100 reimbursement. And I would guesstimate pretty closely that we'd probably be able to offset this $20,000 once that cemetery is up and running. I can't provide you a factual number on that, but looking, you know, historically at how many veterans are buried where, I think we'd probably be able to offset it. So this bill, I think, would definitely help out families. It would make a catastrophic difference for a vast majority of these families that apply for these markers. And any type of assistance you can give some of these family members, I think, is greatly appreciated. And I think it would have a really big impact in terms of helping out veteran families. I'll stand by for any questions.
All right, thank you, sir. Any other proponent testimony? None online, I think. Is there any opponent testimony at this time? So seeing none, we will waive rebuttal and we'll open it up to committee questions. Anyone have any questions? Representative Marty.
It's for the veteran officer. What's your lapel pin?
101st Airborne.
That's what I thought, yeah. Thanks.
I was hoping Representative Goodwin would be here. He might not remember me, but he was my youth wrestling coach in Brookings. Oh. And I know he was in the 82nd, so I was finally looking for a chance to,
Is that the Screaming Eagles?
It is.
Okay. Sorry, Mr. Chair. I wanted to ask you a real question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Describe how you plant these headstones.
So when a family member applies for a government marker, they actually have several choices. And through my office in Aberdeen, we do, unfortunately, far too many of these. 99% of the ones we order are the flat bronze marker, right? It's a 1 foot by 2 foot flat bronze marker. Very, very common. And it depends upon how you want to do it, but most of the agencies that set them put them on a concrete bedding, you know, or a granite or whatever they use. But even just the concrete itself, you know, is expensive. And I've had several family members that have decided to place them themselves in cemeteries that allow it. And many times they're a couple hundred, $250 into the stuff to put these things in the ground when they do it themselves. So it's a rather expensive way of doing it, even if they do it themselves. So there are many different ways you can put it in.
Go ahead.
Would you describe, you know, like the cemetery at south of Sturgis there, can you use that headstone, that type of a headstone?
No, and that's a national cemetery. All the markers have to be the same. I'm pretty familiar with that one. My dad's actually buried out there, so,
yeah.
You know, those are all identical stones in terms of shape and size.
Because, follow up, or I guess just a comment, we have a soldier buried at our little small cemetery, and he has like a white-gray type of a, but it's not like from the VA, and so the cemetery.
They do. The government does provide a standing upright marble, very similar to the ones that the National Cemetery uses.
Oh.
That's available. Again, those ones are all provided to the family at no cost, or even indigent veterans. We do that sometimes, too. We'll have an indigent veteran that will pass away, and then the county will contact you, and you order markers for them that way. But there's a few choices, but 99% of the ones that you'll see are the flat bronze.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Representative Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Go ahead, either you or Representative Dennard. I don't care. As I read the bill, I have no problem with increasing the dollar amount. My question is, are the dollars available in the Military Veterans Affairs Department to cover this increase?
Maybe. I talked with Audrey today, you know, 20,000's, it's all you move numbers. You know, like I said, at some point that cemetery kicks in, this will basically get offset. But right now I couldn't answer that 100%.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Follow up?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I have no problem with the $20,000, but typically if you're going to have a bill that appropriates dollars that would go to the Military Veterans Affairs to pay this, unless they have enough money in their budget. That's my only concern.
Okay, any other questions for Okay, we will close committee questions and open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment, if I may. As Representative Tiedemann said, it's hard to have a difficulty with the purpose of what they're trying to do here. But I recall some discussion in committee a year ago relative to a military request, and again, most of those military requests are very valid, very sympathetic requests, but my comment, and I think the discussion there revolved around kind of save your powder for the big asks sometimes versus the nickel and dime ones. And I don't mean to minimize this by using the term nickel and dime because it's a very worthy cause, but I tend to philosophically like to be able to help the military out, but I'd like to see the significant asks and focus on those from a financial standpoint. So I'm torn about how to approach something like this.
Any other comments from the committee? Representative Drury.
Being very unfamiliar, is this something you would do a fiscal note on? Or I don't know.
I think in this case, I don't know if a fiscal note would necessarily be based on if the testimony is accurate. He was talking about it would be a maximum of around $20,000 would essentially be the ask, but it would just be an increase in the form of an increase. So that's the estimation. Could ask for a fiscal note if you'd like, but I don't know if we really need one in this case.
Well, I just hate to vote for it and then we don't have the money to follow through. I guess that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, as I read the bill, I question if it shouldn't be something that gets referred to appropriations. I mean, I like the policy, and I don't have any problem with the finances, but I'm not one in the committee to decide that. So I just throw that out for discussion.
Representative Tiedemann.
Mr. Chair, yeah, I agree with Representative Deutsch. I mean, that's one way of doing it. I was here when we raised it from 40 to 100. I'm pretty sure there's a bill on record someplace that identifies that there was an appropriations needed in order to get that. So that's why I think it'd be a good idea to send it to appropriations.
Thank you, Representative Tiedemann. If there's no other comments, I'll weigh in real quick myself. And so I guess the question that we have here is whether or not we would all agree to send it to appropriations. Because I, you're right, it is an appropriations bill as far as that's concerned. One of the things that the questions that was asked that I think needs more of an answer are there funds available already in military in Veterans Affairs? That's the big question here. And again, it's not a large amount, but that's a question, and it's a question that's really left unanswered to us. So just not to be the Debbie Downer, if you will, but that's kind of in my mind, and it wasn't really answered very clearly. Representative Gross.
Mr. Chairman, if it's appropriate, I would then move or refer to House Appropriations.
So you had a motion to refer to House Appropriations by Representative Gross and a second by Representative Marty. Okay. So the motion is to refer to House Appropriations or House Bill 1206 to House Appropriations. Make sure we have that clear. So at this time, I'd like the Secretary to call the roll, please.
Representatives Deutsch.
Deutsch votes aye.
Drury.
Aye.
Goodwin, excused. Howard, excused. Johnson.
Aye.
Marty.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
Overweg.
Aye.
Poyer, excused. Tiedemann.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Gross.
Aye.
Randolph.
No.
Okay, Mr. Chair. We have 8 yay, 2 nay, and 3 excused.
Okay, with that, the recommendation to refer to House Appropriations, or 1206, that is, to House Appropriations, has been passed. So, at this time, we are pretty much at the end of where we are.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Can I make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn by Representative Olson and a second by Representative Tiedemann. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.